If you knew what your true yes was and what your true no was in all areas of your life, would you be able to choose faster and easier? What futures would those choices create? Everyone is capable of connecting to their bodies in a way to have more exuberant and joyful living now and in the future. Now, here is your host of Choosing a Different Future with Ceres.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo. It's lovely to be here with y'all today. It's a really interesting week energetically. Let's just acknowledge that. If you've been picking up on some stuff from the world, from the people around you, know that you're not the only one. Me too. I woke up this morning and I was like, wow, what's happening? What are we going to talk about today? So if you're here and you're listening and you're brave enough to explore this topic of today, which is polyamory for you, I commend you because it has a lot of charge for people and you may be picking up on some of that. So please make sure to nurture your bodies and stay connected with your bodies as we talk about this topic today. Hi, bodies. So I am a family and child coach, a speech language pathologist, and a therapeutic energy worker. And I love, love, love using my gifts and capacities to connect with bodies, even when it may be intense like today, and to facilitate more ease for my own body, for y'all's bodies, whichever one of you would like some more ease, and to invite you to be able to connect to other people's bodies, the ones who you would like to connect with in a more intimate, deeper, and expansive way. And so I really love this topic today. I get questions about this all the time. And so we're going to go as far as we can go with this today, and feel free to reach out to me through my website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or through my email, empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. There we go. And so just know that you're not alone in this exploration. Even though I've been considering myself poly since I was in high school, I never really got to practice it until maybe 2014. And even though I've been asking for it over and over again, so we're all continuing to explore it. Even if you're in a monogamous relationship right now, you may consider yourself poly or having more poly mindset, and we're going to explore that today. Before we get into our topic for today, I'd love for you to know some possibilities for how we can connect. I would love to see you in person or in a live streamed call. We're continuing our Exuberantly You with Relationship series, an 8-part series, and you're welcome to get the first 2 calls for free still. You just need to go to empoweringlightlanguage.com/exuberantlyyou. And we've been exploring so many amazing things in this call. I've been super appreciative from the messages people have been sending, their vulnerability, their questions. This level of depth of where we're going is amazing. Every time I do this series, it shows up so different. And so thank you for everyone that has been participating in it so far. And come and join us if that's something that's interesting to you, if you'd like to have better communication with yourself, with your body, with relationships particularly, and starting with your relationship to yourself, okay? We also have the Opening Doors to Greater Living Awakening class. That's Friday, September 23rd in Charlotte, North Carolina, live and also live streaming online. And we have Coming Home to You November 5th, which is a Saturday. That's another awakening class where all of these classes of awakening is to learn the living and dying body process that I created that actually helps you unlock anywhere that you have stuck points, fears, doubt, phobias, the aspects of you where you're like locked in some way and repeating the same patterns so that you can have exuberant living. And then we also have a third awakening class scheduled for January, and that's setting the tone for the year. So we're going to start off with the new year all together and really connected with our bodies. I'd love to also say that I'm so, so grateful for the messages that y'all sent me about last call that had a lot of charge for many of us as well. The episode was called Going Beyond Surviving When You're a Survivor. And we talked about surviving all different types of events in our lives, including sexual assault and rape, which I personally have experience with illness and mental health issues, which I also have had experience with. And so thank you everyone for your sweet messages. I tried to be as open as I could, as vulnerable as I could with everyone. And it's just really lovely to have it received so warmly, and to get those messages from you all. So know that I read them, know that I'm receiving them, and I'm super grateful. So today's topic is polyamory for you? So what have you heard about polyamory? I'm so curious. Have you ever considered it? Who comes to mind when you think about it? Everyone keeps telling me most recently the examples have been about Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. They are not the walking example of polyamory. It's just one of many possible examples. And people have a lot of misconceptions about what open polyamory relationships are and how they compare to monogamy, how to communicate about all of it. And I find that really interesting. So given an informed and nuanced perspective, it's essential to knowing how to communicate about desires, connection, intimacy, regardless of the relationship dynamic you choose. And yet many people struggle to do this effectively and in a way that honors their bodies, their awareness, and their inner hopes and dreams. If it wasn't one or the other, if it wasn't monogamy or polyamory, I wonder what would be possible with polyamory and monogamy that hasn't been considered yet. So today we're going to be talking about so many different things with this. I really would love to address any questions y'all have. So for those of you that are in the live chat, for those of you that are open and have already emailed me, and if you have never emailed me before, please feel free to message me. I'll get to as many of the questions that were sent in as possible. And if I don't address something that you'd really like to know about, please send me a message at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. So today I would really love to talk about open relationships, polyamory, which are different things, what could go wrong, and how you can benefit from polyamory if chosen and explored consciously and ethically. And I think that's the big misconception that I'd love to start off with, is a lot of people think that it's only chosen if it's cheating. You only hear about it when things go awry, when there's drama, when there's been dishonesty. And yet, from my experience, from people that I've met who have participated and practiced in open and poly dynamics, they're some of the most honest people I've ever met. That's part of what I love about it, is there's this upfrontness, this forthrightness that's required that I really, really appreciate. There's a vulnerability there because there's so many things that need to be discussed above and beyond what is usually discussed, and usually discussed really early, way earlier than a lot of people that choose casual dating or monogamous relationships or monogamish, which is a term coined by Dan Savage, that I really appreciate. It's really lovely to have this up front. And so there's a lot of doubt and misconceptions that are cleared earlier. And I think that's what is really something that you can learn from polyamory and apply it to monogamy, even if you're not interested in polyamory and open. And so I think this call will be beneficial to everyone, no matter what type of dynamic you are curious about or have explored before and are considering for your future. So what have you heard? What have you heard? Oh, and hi, yeah. So this idea of the cheating piece, It is not a cure for cheating. Some people think that, okay, I'll just do open and poly relationships so that I don't cheat. Well, cheating comes from a lack of communication or a lot of miscommunication, a lot of not knowing yourself and what you truly desire. Maybe you're not sure about how to vocalize and express what you really want. And so I find that cheating is this symptom on the top, but there's all this iceberg stuff underneath that really needs to be looked at. And so polyamory is not a cure for cheating. If someone doesn't feel like they can voice what they really want, if they don't feel like they are secure enough in themselves to have what they'd really like to have and explore that, that may show up again, and cheating may still happen with polyamory. So that's one of the things we definitely want to look at. But before we get into even more of the misconceptions, I want to make sure that you know the difference in the terms, because a lot of people confuse this. And I'm just going to let you know what I look at and how I see open versus poly. Not everyone would define it in this way. And so that's one of the things I definitely would like to invite you to do, is anyone you're considering dating in an open or poly dynamic, make sure you ask explicitly what they mean by those terms. I've had many friends and many people I know, clients included, who they thought they were having a poly relationship and they were confusing it, and it was actually an open or the other way around. So for me, and for when I talk to my clients and friends, we usually go off of that open refers to play and kink and sex and dating without a commitment or a relationship. So an open relationship is when you do that outside of a primary relationship, or you're doing it with multiple people where you have playtime, kink, sex, or dating, and there's not this commitment piece. There's not this long view of commitment. Now, poly, literally translated polyamory, is many loves. And so many loves is multiple people that you love. There could be really good multiple friends that you have this romantic connection with. There is a level of commitment, usually you having multiple relationships, okay? So it isn't as casual. It isn't just about sex. It isn't just about play. It isn't just about kink, even though those aspects can be included in there. Just like if you're in a relationship, you may have kink as part of your relationship. You may have playtime. I hope you're having sex if you want to have sex as part of your relationship. So these are all the aspects to consider with this. And really important to clarify the terminology, especially if you're exploring this for the first time. Be clear on what you are wanting to start off with and what you'd like to explore. Many people I know start with open, where they have maybe a primary relationship, a marriage, and then they one or both people or multiple of the people, if there's a poly fidelity going on, that they are dating outside of that primary relationship, that starter relationship. And I'm going to use primary as a default, but we can get into a whole other nuances of hierarchical poly and kitchen table poly and all these different things that, if you all would like to know more about those terms, let me know. But for right now, this is a preliminary discussion, because this can easily be a multiple call series just on this topic. But I want to make sure that you know that there are different ways that this can show up. And you get to decide how you navigate this, what you do with this, what you choose with your partners. And you keep checking in. Just because you say that you'd like one thing at one moment doesn't mean that you have to do that forever and ever, and you can't ever change, okay? That you can't ever have it so that you would like to ask for something different. Yeah, okay, cool. I see the comments, cool. So I'm looking at this here. All right. So the other piece that we're going to get into, after our next break, we're going to have our first break of the show. And when we return, we're going to talk about the different things that polyamory and open relationships are not a cure of, and some of the myths and misconceptions about it. So when we return, you are going to continue to talk about polyamory. Is polyamory for you? And on the Choosing a Different Future show, with Ceres, myself, Ceres. We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Ceres, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Ceres is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Ceres. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Ceres through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com. Or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Ceres Raquel Rivas Verdejo. I'm Choosing a Different Future with Ceres. And today our show topic is polyamory for you? So before we went on break, we were discussing the differences between open and polyamory and the importance of actually being clear on that terminology before you start exploring that with people and assuming that they're using the same operational definition as you, because they may not be. And that's really an easy way to avoid a lot of misconceptions and then revisit this periodically as well. Not just the definitions, but if you really would like that or not, if you have the prerequisite skills and interests in exploring that. Make sure to invite and to your friends and family to this discussion. I love actually incorporating and discussing this with families, because a lot of people think that this is just people who have kids that are grown or people who are single that explore poly. And it's actually most of the people I know have kids that are also poly as well. So there's a way to do poly with kids in your household, be it blended families. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in our episode today. Make sure to go ahead and join us on the ICN app, the Inspired Choices Network app. We are on 450 podcasts and TV platforms right now. So keep tabs on us and check out our previous episodes and our future episodes on there, in addition to so many other beautiful podcasts that are on this network. There's a lot of really great content. So poly, as in many loves, many romantic relationships, more than one romantic relationship. First and foremost, poly is a mindset. So even if you're someone that only has one partner or is single right now, if you are someone that likes connecting romantically with multiple people at once, and doesn't take away from the other people to do so, then you could have a polyamory mindset. And just acknowledge this for yourself. You can have that mindset without actually choosing to practice it. And one of the things that I get questions about a lot is, well, if I'm not actually having multiple partners right now, can I call myself that? Yes, you can call yourself poly. You can call yourself whatever you want. You get to decide what to call yourself and how you identify. The other piece, though, is that it helps sometimes for you to know this about yourself, so that you keep that door open for yourself if you'd like to keep it open, that you know that this is something that you can be attracted to other people, you can flirt with other people, you can be in relationships with other people and not judge yourself for having those desires. Sometimes just by knowing that, you can actually do monogamous relationships more successfully because you recognize this is something that's the way that you function and there's nothing wrong with it. And then you still get to choose if you actually practice it or not. So a lot of people come to me when they've been judging themselves for even having the desire for other people while they're dating someone or married to someone currently. And just know that it's not cheating unless you're violating what you've agreed upon with the people that you are currently with. Okay. And so having those discussions and being willing to be vulnerable to be like, hey, I am attracted to this person. I know that we've agreed to these parameters. Let's go from there. Let's see what we'd like to have. Is there a way for me to honor what you truly desire and what I'm actually looking for as well, or what I'd like to explore? There are very different ways of how to have those conversations. And I love facilitating those conversations for people. So if you'd ever like some assistance with that, reach out. Okay. Polyamory is not a cure for, in addition to not being a cure for cheating, like we talked about before the break, it's not a cure for insecurity. It's not a cure for communication issues. It's not a cure for a lack of experience. So I once was dating somebody that they wanted to be in a polyamorous relationship with me, not because they really had a poly mindset, but because they weren't ready to not be dating a whole bunch of other people. And so they were coming with the mentality of casual dating to me, who has a polyamorous relationship and polyamorous mindset. And the tricky part with that is that then they weren't really delving into their own desires. They weren't really being honest with themselves of what was motivating them to be with me, to choose a certain dynamics that they were choosing. Those motivations are really important to explore so you're being really honest with yourself. And then therefore you can be really honest with the people that you're with as well. You're not like unintentionally lying to them. And then also not unintentionally lying to yourself. So that's really, really important. I've had a lot of people that come to me that say, I've met this person. I love them. I can see myself with them for the rest of my life, but I don't want to be done dating. And there's a couple of interesting points of views there. I really, really hope that if you're in a relationship that you're still dating, that you're still going out, that you're still having new experiences together. Even if you're in a monogamous relationship, dating should still be a part of it. You should still be flirting and nurturing and affectionate with each other. The deal is not done just because you've committed to each other. And yes, having open and having other dates with other people, or choosing to have polyamorous relationships and having another person that you're romantically connected to, could be a way for you to continue to be dating. But sometimes I hear that that's the case because they're not actually thinking that they're dating still in their current relationship or in a committed relationship, that dating is something that happens before you're in a committed relationship. And if that's the case, that's another underlying issue that I think should be addressed, because a relationship that doesn't have dating and flirting and affection continually isn't sustainable. It can't really last. That doesn't have that juicy goosey that is required to have something be really yummy and intimate and fun in the long term. Okay, so make sure you're dating no matter what type of dating dynamic you choose. Okay. Oh my goodness. Yes. I got a question sent in before the call, and thank you so much for sending in questions, y'all. Someone was saying that their wife was really, really interested in monogamy and would never explore polyamory and open. And this is a male participant, a male audience member who sent in, is like, I'm really open to it. I'm really interested in it. But I know that for me, it can't be just what I want, right? It has to work with both people. And so one of the things that I would love to, I love to explore with people where they have not a disconnect, because they're very much connected and know that this is going on very clearly, is what are all these infinite ways that can be explored that haven't maybe been considered and discussed yet? Like, what are those underlying things that maybe his wife is worried about would happen if he explored it on his own? I know many people where one person in the couple is monogamous and the other person is seeing other people ethically, honestly seeing other people or having another relationship, and it's very transparent. So it's not cheating in that sense, because the other person who's monogamous has consented to that, knows what's going on. Maybe they don't know all the details of the dates of when they're happening or what all goes down, but they know that the person is seeing somebody else. And then there's discussions about safe sex that needs to be happening. There's discussions about what acts are considered okay within the dynamic and which ones would be considered cheating or might be just for that first starter relationship. All of these things need to be discussed. And so to my friend who sent in that question, and thank you so much for your vulnerability with that, I wonder, what are all the infinite possibilities with that that you could explore? And have you had a discussion about your wife's concerns and yours? Because you may also have concerns on your end for what would happen if I explored this, even if she says initially, okay, I'm agreeing for you to do this. I'm okay with it. Can we check in? Like, there may be some other discussions that will help both of you have peace of mind as you're exploring that. Okay. Thank you again for that question. So talk about all the different ways of doing that. I love the book, The Ethical Slut. It's a great resource. It's written by, I wrote it down in my notes here. Let me find it. Yes. It's written by Janet W. Hardy and Dossie Easton. It's a book that I go back to over and over again, phenomenal read, to really look at what are the prerequisite skills emotionally, mentally, sexually, all these different things that you need to have to do polyamory ethically in all the different ways, be it open relationships, because open is a subset of polyamory, or full poly where you're doing multiple romantic relationships or committed relationships. And they're on their third edition of that book. I think I started reading it, gosh, probably in 2010 or something like that, somewhere in the teens. I mean, it's been at least 10, 15 years since I've started reading the book the first time around. And I still go back to it. Like I said, it's a great resource and maybe a contribution to you. I loved talking about that book and reading it with partners that I'm considering doing poly with, especially if they're new to poly. But I tell you, even after you've done it for years, every dynamic, every relationship is new and different because the people are different. You're creating something different together. So it's not about a cookie cutter fitting the person into what you require. It's about being co-creative and actually consider what they want, what they hope for, what their skills are, what they're capable of and willing to do, and also you together to see what's uniquely possible between the two of you. And then when you have more than two people, like a throuple, which is three people in a couple, if you haven't heard that term, a throuple, then it's even more important to have these discussions. Like for any type of dynamic, communication is key. It may sound cliche, but it really, really, really is important. And we need to keep revisiting that continually and not just go off of inertia, which is something that a lot of the couples I work with often do. And then they get to a moment where they're like, how did we get here? It's like, yeah, kind of sneaks up on you if you're not checking in with yourselves and nurturing that communication piece. The other piece too that, okay, looking at the questions here. There's so many questions and comments that were sent in. One more thing before our next break I'd love to talk about is somebody sent in this question of in comment of be like, I feel like something's wrong with me. I feel like something's wrong with me for even considering this. They mentioned some things about, I'm going to summarize it because it was a little long, but they mentioned some things about their background religiously and how they grew up and how it seems to be counter to how they were raised. So thank you again for your comments and question about this. And just know it's nothing wrong with you if you're curious about this, if you've considered this. It's even nothing wrong with you if you've cheated, actually. It's actually an indication, like an alarm bell, if you need to make some changes. It's information. Okay. Behavior to me is information. So just because I don't choose to cheat and I haven't chosen to cheat before, I don't even judge the people that have cheated on me and I have been cheated on, because I was like, okay, that's information for me to know about them and also information for them to know about themselves. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit more after this next break. It's time for our second break of the show. When we return, we're going to talk about some of the other myths about open and poly relationships. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, with myself, Cedis, on the Inspired Choices Network. When we return, we will continue to discuss, is polyamory for you? We will be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, EmpoweringLightLanguage.com, or send an email to EmpoweringLightLanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Cedis Raquel Ribas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Cedis. And today our show topic is polyamory for you? Before we went on break, we were discussing some of the myths of polyamory, some questions that were sent in by our audience. Thank you so much for your questions. And the last one that we were talking about was somebody that was worried about that there was something wrong with them for even desiring to explore polyamory. And no, there's nothing wrong with you. Really looking at, okay, what do I really want? Am I willing to make this a priority, like to really explore this? This is something that I had been wanting since I was in high school. And I asked every person that I was dating, hey, can we explore this? And they would say, oh, sure. Let's do that after we get to know each other later on. And then we would break up for other reasons, not related to poly, because we never really got to explore it. It would be either personality quirks, or we'd grow apart, or we would be going to different schools when I was, you know, in college, things like that. We wanted different things. And so we started exploring the different avenues. And yet I kept in my mind, like, hey, I really would like to know more about this. I'd really like to see how it would be to truly have a poly dynamic and feel like I could have multiple romantic relationships and know that they can contribute to each other, that I would actually be more present because I would have more energy after being with somebody else. I would maybe bring some other skill sets to the bedroom because I got to explore them with someone else. It's like, oh, all right, let's try this out with this person. Or maybe it wouldn't be about sharing those skills, but not everyone wants to do everything that you want to do. And so maybe it's about having somebody else to explore certain things with that your other partner doesn't, and back and forth, or them having a chance to explore that with somebody else that you're for something that you're not really interested in. And so no one's obligated and doesn't have this obligation energy to do all the things that each person is desiring to do beyond what they would be comfortable or interested in. It's like, oh, just go ahead and find somebody else that to do that with safely and in a fun way. Go have fun safely, you know? And so there's many possible ways of how this can contribute to your life, your body, and to your current relationships. But the judgment piece, if you're judging yourself, but when you're going in, that already is going to undermine you, your ability to be able to know if this is something that's working for you. So if you go in and you come in with judging yourself, then the person that you may be potentially dating is going to pick up on that. And it's like, well, if they're not really comfortable with themselves with this, are they judging me? Because I'm already in this lifestyle. I'm already been choosing this. I'm already here on this date looking for someone to have a polyamorous dynamic with. Am I going to have to navigate their judgments of me as they're also judging themselves? It gets really messy. So what if we could actually clear those judgments and actually be around people first as friends? Really, I expand your network. There's so many wonderful Facebook groups. There's so many beautiful events that you can connect with. If you're not familiar with FET Life, F-E-T Life, L-I-F-E.com, it's like the Facebook for kinksters, for people who have different non-monogamous relationships, ethical non-monogamous relationships. And so you can go in there and set up a profile and just start connecting with people and going to events and talking to people that have already been exploring this for a couple months or years or decades. And what I find is that if you actually see more examples of it, you'll see that it can show up in so many different ways. You can choose it in so many different ways. There is no particular background that this occurs in more than others. It may be just more on the DL, on the down low in some communities, but I've met people from all races, all religions, all socioeconomic statuses, all levels of education that have chosen open, poly, or some combination of the two over the course of their life. And when you have these beautiful conversations with people, respectfully, like, you know, check yourself at the door, come at people not like too thirsty, but really with curiosity and a willingness to learn and a willingness to connect with people as people as well, from their interests beyond poly, you'll see that people will like sports or not like sports. They'll like politics or not like politics. They'll have kids or don't have kids. There's so many different ways that it can show up, and that will help you then come at dating, if you still choose to do that, with a lot less judgment, and then you'll be more successful with your dating, okay? Thank you for sending in that question. Awesome, awesome. The other myth. So gosh, this one, I'm so glad that I've talked about this so much since the YouTube video I did on the top 5 myths on polyamory. So if you're not on my YouTube channel yet, check it out. You can search for my channel, Empowering Light Language and Cities, and you put in polyamory. And there's a really short, succinct video where I talk about the top 5 myths that people ask me about all the time, a more succinct version of this episode today. And it's a great one to send to people that, you know, may be exploring poly or have some misconceptions about it. But one of the ones that, when I last did a video on this, a discussion on this, I was very heated and it came through very much so on the video, was this myth of everyone is full of diseases, that are swingers, that are open, that are poly. And the swingers are people who are open. That's an example of open. They go to different events or parties, or they have agreed upon people, and it's really just about the sex and the connection that way, and not having a committed romantic relationship. So you can do that with friends, and there's an ongoing relationship in that sense, but not in a romantic, committed, long-term way. And with all of those people, I actually find it interestingly, and there's some research that supports this, that it's actually more likely for people who are poly and open, but especially poly, to have gotten regularly tested for sexually transmitted diseases compared to monogamous people. A lot of monogamous people, they assume their people don't have any STDs, and instead of one, checking themselves no matter what results they've ever had, no matter what their experiences are, because certain things can go dormant. And also for them to ask very candidly for the results from their potential partners. Condoms don't protect you from everything. And so please make sure you're using safe sex practices with new people, with current people, and that you've had these candid discussions with them. And then if you choose to be fluid bonded with them at some point, then keep checking in and not assume that they're still doing the same practices that you discussed initially, especially if they're going to have other people involved in an open or poly dynamic. Okay. So please, please, please get tested. Please, please, please don't assume that someone who is in the lifestyle of poly or open is full of diseases. Because I find people could have STDs no matter what they've experienced for many different reasons. And don't go put blinders on no matter what type of relationship dynamic you choose. Okay. Take care of you, my lovelies. Take care of you. The other myth that is that I brushed upon before and I want to delve into a little bit more is a really big misconception that it's not possible to have kids and be poly. I'm quite busy working with families in all different respects. I've worked with families in their homes. I've worked with families in clinics. I've worked with families privately online. And maybe I'm just calling it in. Maybe they just, you know, perceiving my vibration and they know that it's something that I'm open to, that I don't have the judgments about that maybe some other people would have. More and more over the years, which I love, I've been actually interacting with more and more families with kids through my work as a speech language pathologist, as a family and child coach, that also have this component of, hey, this is my other partner, so-and-so, and we call this person uncle, or we call this person by their name, or we call this person auntie or TT, or all these different cutesy euphemisms that like their title to show that they're part of the family, but in a different way. And they have a special relationship to the parents or to the caregivers in the family. And I love it because I always knew that was a possibility. I never thought that it would be people with kids over here and people with open and poly relationships over there. And yet to see it has been really validating and gratifying, and to be able to support those families has been awesome and huge, because these kids then who see these models of non-monogamy, of really open communication, of expanding the network of people that get to contribute to the kids' lives through care, through childcare, through chores, through cleaning, through taking and picking up at events. They see their parents have more space. They see the communication that's required with not just the logistics, but navigating the affections, the emotional intelligence. These kids are, they're with it. And they don't assume any particular dynamic has to be what they choose either. So they have all these other options that are available to them, just like so many other kids have it with so many other things that we didn't when we were younger, because we didn't have the internet, we didn't have access to the world the way we do now. Well, this is yet another way that kids have this other possibility, all these other infinite possibilities with relationships. And so they actually know, hey, I could choose whatever I want to create in a relationship. I can do relationships my way, and I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to not assume that the people that I'm dating want a particular thing, because I've seen my parents choose something different that maybe society or the people at my school aren't really talking about. But I get to come home to different types of affection and different people that can contribute to me, that I can go to for advice, for guidance, as mentors, as examples to what I can choose in the world. It's just amazing to me. I'm super impressed with my families that I've worked with. So thank you. You guys know who you are. And more come. I'm asking for more of those families to come and find me. It's so freaking cool. And there's a really great book that just came out, and I'm so excited to read it. I haven't read it yet, but I love this couple. It's Jessica and Joseph Daylover, and they have a website and a whole platform called Remodeled Love. They have hashtag Remodeled Love. They have a Facebook group, and they just came out with a book that I'm really excited to read called Polyamory and Parenthood. And it's called Polyamory and Parenthood, Navigating Non-Monogamy as Parents of Young Children. All right. How cool is that? I cannot wait to read it. Given everything else I've seen of theirs, I'm sure it's going to be amazing, but I'm really looking forward to being able to read that and provide those tools and resources and stories to the families that I work with as well. So that's going to be awesome. So check that out if you'd like a resource. If you're someone who has children, I suspect given who they are, that even though they say as parents of young children, that a lot of those tools and concepts would be beneficial for people who have older kids as well. All right. So it's time for our third break of the show. When we return, we will discuss some more of the myths about polyamory, some more additional resources and things for you to consider. You are listening to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, myself Cedis, on the Inspired Choices Network. When we return, we will continue to discuss, is polyamory for you? We'll be right back.
Most people haven't been taught how to listen and partner with their bodies in order to create lives that include clarity, pleasure, ease, and connection. Tuning in to Choosing a Different Future with Cedis, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and resources on how to use your awareness of bodies and energy to your advantage. Cedis is a family and child coach and therapeutic energy worker who will guide you to get clear and acknowledge what's brilliant, magical, and a gift about you. This is the Choosing a Different Future show with Cedis. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. Connect with Cedis through her website, empoweringlightlanguage.com, or send an email to empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Cedis Raquel Rivas Verdejo on Choosing a Different Future with Cedis. And today our show topic is polyamory. Is polyamory for you? Before we went on break, we were talking about all these different myths that I've been getting questions on for years that I've had to look at for myself to see if I still have some of those misconceptions running. And some beautiful questions and comments that were sent in by the audience. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We are also talking about how the myth that a lot of people think that it's not possible to have kids and be poly, which is not true. I provided the new book that I just found out about, Polyamory and Parenthood, Navigating Non-Monogamy as Parents of Young Children by Jessica and Joseph Daylover from Remodeled Love. So, so cool. Very excited to read that book. I may have to come back and talk to y'all about my impressions of it after I finish reading it. Another great myth that is probably some of the biggest one. I wanted to give y'all a chance to look at these other ones. And then one of the most prevalent one is probably that if we consider this, if we consider open, if we consider poly, that means we're about to break up. That means there's something wrong with our relationship. There's something that we're not addressing. Excuse me. And part of where that comes from is a lot of people aren't doing the legwork, the communication. They're not looking at their own hopes, dreams, inner desires to get to a certain point. So then by the time they consider that, they are actually lying to themselves and saying, hey, I'm looking to somebody else to fill this need that I haven't actually expressed to my partner. I don't feel like I can get from my partner, or I haven't even really acknowledged to myself that I really want. So if there's a lot of unconscious points of views, a lot of unspoken conversations, or maybe we've been avoiding some uncomfortable conversations, then yes, you may be perceiving that there's other things that need to be addressed, and that the request for open and poly is again that little tip of the iceberg, and there's all this stuff underneath it that also needs to still be addressed. That being said, if you're someone's asking for open and poly and you have a healthy relationship and you've been really happy and you there is a lot there and you see this long-term view with them, and yet they are interested in exploring other possibilities as well, lean into it. Pick up one of these books, have a conversation, set up a consultation with me. One of these things that really helps facilitate, let's dig in deep. Let's go and look at all the underneath into the, not just the tip of the iceberg of the request, but what else is going on in your relationship? What are some of your concerns? What are some of your fears, your doubts about it? Can, if the, after trying it out, can one person say, can we go back to monogamy? Like these conversations can be a lot easier than you think. But the first step is to decide to actually start having them and stop avoiding them. It's, if you have a partner that's asking for open and poly and they've been a good partner to you so far, they're not abusive, be it physically or verbally, emotionally, they are someone that you've been able to count on. You've been able to have some beautiful memories with them. You have kids with them, all these different things. And it could be any of these, not all, it doesn't have to be all of them. If there's a really good foundation there, what if you actually added some tools to your tool belt that would make exploring poly, not necessarily practicing poly, but exploring poly easier? Okay. A lot of people would like to have that newness, that freshness, to feel attractive, especially if the person that they're with still finds them attractive, but they're like, is it just this one person or do a lot of people find me? Can other people find me attractive too? So sometimes they go out to other relationships to renew their sense of attractiveness, that they just would like that again, before they then bring that sense of security, that sense of, oh, I am attractive, back to their original partnership. If you're dealing with a lot of stress, I've met a lot of people where their partner is really ill or it has a chronic autoimmune disorder. They're in pain, they have cancer. And so they can't get the sexual needs met, including some of the emotional release. Like sex can be very stress relieving for people. So if it's agreed upon with your partner, there are people that go out of their relationship in order to have that emotional release, that stress relieving, so that they can be better partners as they're caring for their ailing partners or their ailing family members. Okay. There's a lot here. You can add to your joy, add to your relaxation, add to your perspectives and things that you're open to in the world. If your partner doesn't like to travel and you'd like to have companionship while you're traveling, it's a way to expand your world. And also if you have kids, expand your kids' worlds. Okay. So again, the resource I gave you before was The Ethical Slut by Janet W. Hardy and Dossie Easton. I also love tons of Dan Savage's books, great resource around that. He has a column that you could listen to. It's in his own podcast. He has articles he's written as well. Check him out. But it's really, really cool that there's so many different discussions happening now that I wish when I was in high school and in college were going on, but at least they're happening now. And so if you're considering open and poly, this is a great time to do that because it seems to be more accepted now than ever. And there's so much more support and resources for it than ever before. And then please check us out for our next episode. It's going to be when their behavior doesn't match what you know. What if we moved away from the polarities of good behavior and bad behavior, negative or positive, and instead receives it as all information? So we're going to talk about that and more for all these different areas, from tantrums to parenting to hormonal changes to breakups, long distance relationships, you name it, on our next episode next week. And so it's all information from our bodies. Let's choose to tap into our bodies and learn how we can partner with them to have futures, which include more clarity and ease with creating what we know is possible. And so hopefully you've enjoyed our discussion on Is Polyamory for You today. I've loved getting all these questions and comments. I loved having your energy here. And if you are exploring this and have any other additional questions, feel free to email me at empoweringlightlanguage@gmail.com. Until next time, check y'all out. And thank you so much for being here and exploring this topic. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Choosing a Different Future show. Series returns Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Mountain, and 7 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, keep choosing what will work for you and your body, your own unique way honoring what will work for you.